Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I hope everyone listening this morning is having an awesome day. Our topic for today's show is going to be how to use the art of forgiveness and something called mindfulness to reduce stress and tension in your life. How does understanding forgiveness relate to the first two shows? Well, last week we discovered the differences between soulmates and twin flames. I suspect that forgiveness could be used regularly with these rather intense relationships. In the first week's show, we covered the 8 considerations for healthy relationships. And since we're all humans, there will have been many opportunities to use forgiveness here with our siblings, friends, parents, teachers, co-workers, and employers or employees, spouses, lovers, business partners, and so the list goes. Wherever we happen to be in our life, there is always going to be stress. There will be disagreements, hurt feelings, and a sense that somehow the other person is wrong and we are right. I'm sure we've all experienced that very feeling. All of us have had reason to become angry with people. We may have long-standing grievances with family members, exes, friends, co-workers, and certainly we can't forget the neighbor that we're no longer speaking to, or the jerk that cut you off while you were either driving to work or home. We tend to carry these emotions with us throughout our day. And the problem is that those days can add up to weeks, months, and sometimes even years. Anger by itself is a normal emotion. And even as infants, we expressed it. When we were young, it was acceptable to scream and cry and throw things. But as we have gotten older, that is no longer acceptable. This was kind of funny because I actually just heard about Alexa getting into the mix by calling 911 after hearing what she assumed to be domestic violence. And all of you know that Alexa listens all of the time. Well, can you imagine what this couple thought when the police pulled up at their home to check on them? Maybe Alexa did actually save someone from domestic violence, but it's also possible that this couple was just loudly disagreeing, and Alexa assumed there would be a problem. We all know what happens when we start assuming things, and it rarely turns out to be a positive situation. So before we actually talk about forgiveness or mindfulness, I think we need to look at what stress does to you physically. There is so much damage being done to your body each and every day by the stress that you actually put yourself through. Forgiveness in this case is going to be you forgiving yourself for what you are doing to your health and emotional well-being. Whenever you encounter stress, it triggers what is called the fight or flight response. Your heart begins to race, your breath quickens, your muscles become ready for action. And this response has been around since caveman days, when the decision became, do I run from the saber-toothed tiger or hide and hope he doesn't see me? I actually had this very experience a week ago, last night, prior to the radio show on Thursday morning of last week. A virus had attacked my computer after I had been on Facebook and was literally holding the computer hostage. Fortunately, I was able to unlock it with my son's help, and we were able to correct the situation. But there were more than a few moments when a panic response was the physical reaction I was experiencing. In case you haven't seen this particular takeover of your computer, it goes like this. I was on Facebook and there was a video that was playing. I had played it. And as soon as I started playing it, there was a voice that came over the computer and it said, "Don't turn the computer off or you're going to lose all of your data." So what I had done was that the video was of three whales that were breaching together in Canada, and there was a tour boat of visitors that were watching the whales. So when the program actually grabbed the computer, their objective was to try to sell me a software system that would protect my computer and restore my information. I guess what happens in this case is that the seizure of the computer is not a virus, and that's why it's able to go around whatever virus protection you may have on your computer. So just be aware of where you click these days. If you don't know the sender, maybe you shouldn't click on the video. And that was what happened to me. I did not know this particular sender. So going back to the stress response, when stressors don't stop firing because of a chronic or long-term situation, then physical conditions can begin to appear in your body. And some of you may have talked to doctors about these very symptoms. So these are just some of them. You can become irritable, anxious, depressed. You can have tearfulness that just comes out of the blue. You can have headaches, insomnia, changes in your sex drive, stomach problems, lack of motivation, high blood pressure. Your immune system can become weakened, which means that you will end up coming down with some ailment. You can have an increase in the use of drugs or alcohol. And another thing is that you can feel overwhelmed much of the time. So our first question came in from Alex in Orlando. And he said, "I think this situation is happening to me all the time." He said, "I'm angry at family members who try to control everything I do." And to make matters worse, he said that he's in a relationship with a person who also wants to control everything they do as a couple. So he's asking if he should forgive them and sit down and talk about what he needs and wants. He goes on to say that he's beginning to have constant headaches and stomach problems, and he thinks they're related to this situation. And I certainly would bet that they are. I think he's struggling with people that he genuinely cares about, but who evidently think he isn't capable of making decisions on his own. So he is going to have to find the time to sit with them and to share his feelings. And hopefully they will hear his frustration and they will arrive at a better way to interact with him. Stress can occur in some situations, and this is fairly common too, where a person is trying to take control of what is happening to him or her in a workplace situation. The term in this case is often called micromanaging, and it usually occurs because the person is trying to control their own personal anxiety. So sometimes we just want to be sure things are done correctly. We're not willing to leave it up to chance because that can cause even more stress and anxiety. And it becomes kind of a vicious cycle. It's hard to get out of. I'm sure all of us have had to mentor new coworkers, teach younger siblings, or manage something for someone out there where it's just easier and faster to do it ourselves rather than to teach and empower that person. So there's kind of a feeling of just get out of my way and let me do it. I've often seen this happening with parents and children. And sometimes when I used to work with families, you know, this was a topic that came up on a regular basis. Developing healthy boundaries can help this issue of taking charge, but not everyone is able to actually let go of their need to control others. You're going to have to ask yourself, when do you truly need to step in and take charge? And when do you need to empower the other person? Safety first is a good rule that I follow, although I've had parents actually tell me that if there isn't blood or broken bones, that they stay out of it. In some cases, a chaotic childhood may have been the cause for this super vigilance and the need to control, because there really was potential danger that did exist. And again, working with families and individuals for years, I saw a lot of that come through my doors. So question two comes from Steve, and he asks, is there anything you can do when you feel the need to take charge of a situation? So one option might be this practice that is called mindfulness. This means focusing your awareness on the present moment while calmly accepting your feelings, bodily sensations, and thoughts. This method actually can help you control the buildup of anxiety. Jon Kabat-Zinn, he defined mindfulness as paying attention on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally. Mindfulness does involve the conscious and deliberate direction of our attention. Some people still call mindfulness today meditation, and technically, I guess they are pretty much the same thing. It does involve breathing, and when we become aware of our breath, it helps to reduce the internal tension that we are experiencing. Mindfulness is now being taught in schools, hospitals, workplaces, yoga centers, and even churches. Wherever we spend time with others, stress can occur. So in order to help us physically do our best, we need to learn how to control stress. And mindfulness is certainly one way we can do that. The practice of it couldn't be any easier. So I'm going to run through the steps with you. You're going to want to find a comfortable place to sit. And for some of you, that might mean sitting on the floor or sitting on a big pillow. For others, it's going to be sitting in a chair. If you are seated in a chair, make sure that you have the bottom of your feet resting on the floor. Straighten your spine so that your head is comfortably on the top of your vertebrae. And for this, maybe your mom told you in the past to sit up straight as a child. So it's that sensation that you are sitting up straight, not stiffly, but straight. Let your hands just drop into your lap and rest on the top of your legs. Let your gaze fall gently downward, like you're just looking into your lap. Relax your body. And now you want to feel your breath. So you're breathing in and breathing out. Usually you're going to want to do this by breathing in through the nose and then out through the mouth. When your mind begins to wander, just bring your attention back to your breathing. So some people like to use what is called a mantra. And this might be the sound, like you've often heard of Om as one of the sounds. Or you can use a statement that is repeated frequently. Dr. Herbert Benson was a Harvard-trained cardiologist, and he saw many, many, many patients who had suffered heart attacks. These patients had to figure out a way to reduce their stress, so he started to teach them meditation. However, most of his patients couldn't keep their mind chatter, or what I like to call monkey brain, under control. So the meditation they were doing wasn't effective at reducing their stress. So he did some research and he found a way to use their religious beliefs to help them with their meditation. This later became a book called Beyond the Relaxation Response. And I would imagine you could still get this book on Amazon. What he found was that by helping his patients focus on short passages from the Bible, like "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," that they had a place to go with their wandering thoughts. And for patients who weren't churchgoers, he found other short statements that just helped them keep their mind focused. As a result, their meditation time was much more effective for stress reduction, and in return, their cardiovascular health improved. And this was paramount, because if they didn't manage their stress, they weren't going to get any better and potentially could suffer another heart attack fairly soon. Okay, so after you've practiced your breathing for about 10 minutes, bring your gaze back to a normal position. So you're going to lift your head back up. If you've had your eyes shut, you can open your eyes. And now you need to notice where your thoughts and emotions are. How does your body feel? Is it more relaxed? Although mindfulness and meditation are wonderful tools for helping manage stress, what if your problems are actually caused by your own behavior? So question number 3 comes from Abby in Sarasota. She states she has made so many mistakes in relationships. Many of her friends no longer want to hang out with her, and she thinks it's because she is constantly judging others. She wonders if there is anything she can do to stop being so critical. She wants to find a special someone, and she also wants for her friends to like her again. So now I think it would be a good place to begin talking about this ancient Hawaiian method called Ho'oponopono, and that is a mouthful. This method is based on a Hawaiian shamanic ritual, and the technique teaches you to cleanse your consciousness of negative memories as well as unconscious fears. So I'm going to remind you that your mind actually stores all of your memories in what I like to think of as a card catalog system. Our 5 senses are what help with this storage. And those senses are smell, sound, taste, touch, and sight. So let's do a little test to prove this point. Think of a smell memory from your past. So during the holidays, it might have been the aroma of turkey in the oven, or maybe smelling the Christmas tree. Think to yourself, are you a child in your house when this memory comes to your mind? A memory of sound could be waves on the shore, birds singing in the spring, or a crackling fire in the fireplace. Where do these sounds transport you to? A taste memory might be of ice cream on a hot summer day, a freshly squeezed glass of orange juice, a piece of tart cherry pie. Are you maybe a kid at your grandparents' home? Your touch sensation could be the cold nose of your dog waking you up, a soft sweater on your skin, or the feel of cool sheets as you go to sleep. The sight image could be of a snow-capped mountain, a formation of geese heading south for the winter, or a child blowing out birthday candles. So each of our senses grabs that memory and then stores it. And then when you smell or taste or see something down the road, it kind of stirs that memory bank for you. The thing to remember is that this can be either a positive or a negative memory that is being stored. So going back to Abby, is it possible that many of the images that she stored are ones involving criticism? Therefore, when she's with others, she simply falls into that old pattern that she had witnessed in the past and then stored in her memory bank. So it's almost just this natural reaction to do what she remembers. Let's see if the problem that Abby shared is similar to what Dr. Lin faced at his hospital in Hawaii many years ago. So he was a Hawaiian therapist, and he actually cured an entire ward of criminally insane patients by doing this Ho'oponopono technique. He stated that what he did was he healed them by healing himself. The secret to this technique is that nothing happens out there. It all happens in your mind. And you have to wrap your head around that one. So what Dr. Lin began to understand is that everything you see or hear, everyone you meet, and each experience you have, all takes place in your mind. Remember your five senses. They stored every single memory for you, the good ones and the bad ones. We only believe it's happening out there so that we can be absolved of any responsibility in the actual outcome. The attitude is, I didn't cause this, so I can't be blamed. But if we stored the memory unintentionally, then it controls who we are today. We aren't doing anything on purpose, but our programming is creating our problems today. In reality, we truly are responsible for everything we think and everything that comes to our attention. It's what we do when stressful situations occur that will make the difference. So this Ho'oponopono technique is deceptively simple, but it's very, very, very effective. The foundation of the method lays in the fact that you have to recognize your responsibility in attracting and creating the events of your life. And sometimes that's very difficult for us because we don't want to take responsibility for what is happening. So here's how it works. In step one, you're going to say, I'm sorry. When you say you're sorry, you are actually practicing remorse and empathy for the situation, as well as your co-creative role in it. And that's the part you really have to grab onto, is that you're co-creating all of this. Could you have avoided the situation and those resulting feelings instead of becoming engaged in the problem? It's easier to understand this concept when you look at an area that you absolutely know that you're responsible for. So, as some examples, are you overweight? Are you addicted to alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, or any of the other many addictions? Do you have anger issues? Do you have health issues that are caused by your not taking better care of yourself? You begin this forgiveness technique by saying to yourself, I am sorry I have caused this problem for me. And make sure that you are truly sincere about saying the words, I'm sorry. Sometimes we're just used to saying it and we don't really mean it. In step two, you're now going to say, please forgive me. And forgiveness can be directed at yourself as well as others. If some of the issues I just mentioned, such as anger, addiction, health issues, those are things that you're dealing with in your life, then please forgive me works because you're reminding yourself that you're part of this equation. It's also important to recognize that everyone involved may be doing their very best. The results that you're experiencing may not be what you want, but being too hard on yourself or someone else doesn't get you where you want to go either. Now we're going to go to step three. You're now going to say thank you. And it doesn't matter who you're thanking or for what you're thanking. You can thank your body for all it has done for you, or maybe is doing for you right now. Also, you can thank yourself for being the best person you know how to be at this time. Remember that you're improving in every way each and every day. Sometimes recognizing that whatever has happened up till now doesn't mean it's the end of the story. All parties involved in the situation now have an opportunity to learn from one another. Everyone can reflect and see how they might want to learn and change. As a well-known baseball saying goes, it's not over till the fat lady sings. In reality, our journey in life is never over until we die. So my philosophy is, keep on trucking. In step four, you're going to encounter words that might be the most difficult to say. And those are, I love you. You are saying I love you to yourself and to everything that is alive around you, such as friends, loved ones, strangers, trees, animals, plant life, the very air that you breathe. Even saying I love you to your challenges is important because these challenges help you grow and learn life's lessons. After all, through love, all things are possible. Nothing in life is as powerful as love. So you're sending feelings of kindness and understanding to all parties. When Dr. Lin began using Ho'oponopono, the staff, patients, and environment began to change because they all recognized and felt their connectedness. The change became the perception of who the patients were and the staff's part in that perception. Because Dr. Lin saw his part in the equation, he then treated the patients differently. And as a result of that, the patients began to see themselves differently. And everything began to change. Over a short period of time, the entire environment turned into one that was peaceful, respectful, and enjoyable. Could we do the same in our personal life? What would happen if you saw a person or situation that is currently causing you stress in a different light? Would forgiving yourself as well as the person transform everything? Could this method be done in today's political climate? Would it make a difference? Could Abby see how she had simply hardwired her old memories? Could she then understand and forgive herself for creating her own stressful relationships? Might this change everything? I am personally aware of a number of people who have seen major changes in their relationships after doing this simple yet very effective method. Would it be worth your time to try it and see what happens? Do you really have anything to lose but stress? Might your life suddenly become the life you have always wanted? Could this be at least one of the ways for you to begin living your best life? Thank you for listening to the show today. And if you feel a friend or family member could benefit from today's topic, the recording is going to be up on my website in a couple of hours. And that's synergyconnectionradio.com. It will also be on tampabayfm.net. So please share either site with them. Also, be sure to check out the service tab on my website. There are several links there to people and companies that can and will make a difference in your ability to live your best life. Maybe a new precision haircut, a chiropractic adjustment, world-class nutritionals, a thought-provoking session through Upsize Your Soul, or learning about theta healing is just what you need to turn your life around. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the process of letting go to the things and people in your life that no longer serve you. Please be sure to send me any questions by going to the Contact Me tab on my website. Meanwhile, have a beautiful remainder of the week, and don't forget to live your best life.